Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We move it, and we go into that fight just to land on the line.
Boxing fans, this is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast Part 2.0. Obviously, if you were listening to the show earlier live, we got through the first 2 hours of the show, got into the archive, which is an hour's worth of time still, and my Skype dropped. Big military plane came through. I heard it after, like, oh my gosh. So we didn't get to get all the callers in. Didn't get to get to Portland, and that's 2 weeks in a row now with Portland too. So we had to do a part two. We didn't really get to, you know, I did a good somewhat chunk of preview and prediction for the Lomachenko fight. I wanted to talk about a couple other fights on the schedule and just kind of clean up the news and also the Top Rank Mikey Garcia Lomachenko stuff, because I touched upon it, but I never really got to give some detail and just, you know, what he should do next in general, Mikey. So we were just talking about the Showtime and the Fox cards, and HBO's got a card with Campbell and Linares in September, which is somewhat of an interesting fight. We were talking about the WBC saying they're going to step in and try to, you know, mediate this situation, I guess, with Stavern trying to get that Wilder versus Ortiz November 4th at the Barclays. That's Showtime on Fox October 14th. We got Danny Jacobs at the Barclays. Be nice to get Andy Lee or somebody in there. Talking about a Showtime fight, Jared Hurd and Austin Trout. So we were right around there. And then we were talking about the week of Mayweather and McGregor and how FS1 is going to have two shows. We mentioned one of the shows. We were just getting to the couple other things, because they're also going to have a Fox live show before the prelims. So it's a three-hour window. An hour of it, I believe, will be a pre-show. I'm not sure if it's going to be right away or if it's going to be the last hour of the broadcast. I don't know. And there'll probably be about 2 hours of boxing. We mentioned how Sean Porter and Thomas Dolmer is going to fight, which is an okay fight. He's managed. I mean, he did really good against Crawford. In his losses, he hasn't looked lost for the whole fight or anything like that. He usually makes it a pretty good fight. So I think that's a good stay busy fight for Porter. You know, it's nice that he's staying busy. So that's going to be Fox that late afternoon into primetime before, because I believe the pay-per-view card starts at 9 Eastern, so 8 o'clock my time. So from 5 my time, which is Central, to 8, there's supposed to be a live broadcast. Like I said, I think an hour will be the pre-fight show and stuff like that. But they're going to have live boxing, which is cool. You wonder where Badu Jack is going to be. Is he going to be on the undercard of the pay-per-view? Or are they going to put him on Fox too? You know, there's rumors that they had the Nathan Cleverley fight signed, and that was going to be his opponent. Because, you know, he said he was fighting for a a title. So that was kind of the choice you'd think, but now I think he has the WBA or a version of it, I believe. Cleverly does, but now he, I think he just got called to make a mandatory fight, but it's within 120 days. So maybe, you know, that's how they already knew that when they called it. Yeah, I don't know. And it's already signed. I'm not sure. I don't know who Badu Jack is fighting. It hasn't been announced. I'm assuming by tomorrow it should be announced, or very soon anyway. They did say that they get these announcements out. Gervonta Davis is fighting, and he's fighting Martinez, Rocky Martinez. And that's just going to be a highlight reel type fight. You know what I mean? It's definitely a showcase fight at this point. Not to disrespect Rocky Martinez, but he's pretty old. Who knows? He could put up a fight for a little bit. I don't know. But I obviously a clear win for Davis. So are they going to do a full four, you know, card fights on the card, or are they going to do what they did with Pacquiao and Mayweather and only have three fights? I believe they only had three fights, right? It was Lomachenko and a guy that he walked over, and then I think that's it, wasn't it? Just three fights? Correct me if I'm wrong. So it'll be interesting to see if Badu Jack will be on that free Fox card with Sean Porter and Delorme, or will he be on the undercard? So anyway, as far as the top rank stuff, I'll get to that after I go to Portland. I'm going to bring in 503 from Portland. Didn't get to him on the show tonight earlier, and got all messed up last week too. So I wanted to get him in and make sure while everything's good, why something else will come up and I won't be able to unmute you on the switchboard or something. 503, what's going on, man?
Yo, yo, what up, Chris? You hear me? You hear me loud and clear?
Loud and clear, sir.
All right, cool, cool, bro. Yeah, man, it's kind of crazy. We've had these weird things going on. Some drop-offs and, you know, some roommates, messing with the internet and shit. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully,
Hey, don't reset it. If you reset it, it drops me from Skype.
Yeah, bro. And definitely this I was excited to talk about this last weekend's fights, because for a fight fan like me, it was a great weekend. I mean, like, but to be honest with you, there's two events that night, and me being a hardcore boxing fan, I chose to stick to my roots and stick with boxing, a real fight, not a half fight, not a quarter fight, a real fight, boxing, you know what I mean? And the whole week, I was saying, fuck the UFC, fuck them, I don't even care, fuck their belt don't mean shit, you know, this WBC diamond belt, 140-pound belt, it meant more to me than that bullshit UFC shit. So I just want to bring out it I just want to be loud and proud about my favorite sport of boxing, and show these fucking, because I can't stand these fucking MMA guys right now, bro. I just can't stand them, man. They're fucking everywhere here in Oregon and Portland, and they'll fucking, man, the other week there was another fight going on. I can't remember. It was a bums, right? They're all bums. At the end of the day, they're bums. And it was some bum pay-per-view fight that we were watching, and I couldn't, I was overhearing these dumbass fucking MMA fans thinking that fucking McNugget has some sort of chance, and it just gets under my skin, bro, because these guys are fucking praying to some god that, you know, their MMA god fucking pulls this off, and it just frustrates me, because, you know, if you know boxing, you know what's going to happen that night, and I'm still not buying that fucking pay-per-view, and I'm just like, I don't know, man, it's just all this talk, man, it's fucking, man, I really wish we were, in a boxing state or a, you know, boxing city, but, man, this will always be, not, like, dude, I'm serious about this being a MMA town, bro, like, dude, it's fucking, you just get these dudes talking, you know, talking their shit, and it's just fucking, You know what I mean? I just want to stand up for boxing and, you know, and say that's the real fight right there. Those motherfuckers will not last 12 fucking rounds in a real fight. You know what I mean? And fuck all of them that are saying that, you know, they're agreeing with McNugget saying that this is a quarter fight, a half fight. Fuck you. You know what I mean? I just want to be loud and proud about this because I was just a hardcore boxing fan this last weekend with Mikey Garcia versus Adrian Broner. And I was loud and on Twitter saying, fuck the UFC. You know, I was telling, you know, my friends, fuck the UFC. I have MMA friends that, you know, that were like, you know, they wanted to watch, you know, Broner and, you know, Broner Garcia and the UFC all together. And I was like, man, fuck that shit, man. I'm sticking to my roots, bro. I'm fucking sticking to boxing right now because just that whole MMA shit is just fucking getting under my fucking nerves. But I'm here to talk about Broner Garcia right now real quick. And just say that was a masterclass performance by Mikey Garcia. He did his shit. You know what I mean? It was Mikey Garcia, man. It was just like, you know, he's not a brawler. I didn't expect him going in there like Maidana style and putting the pressure on him and just, you know, like hooking him to the body, you know, just going straight right to the head. You know what I mean? It wasn't a brawl. This was a masterclass performance by Mikey Garcia, and I'm just so proud that he fucking took AB out of the spotlight, man. He's a gatekeeper now at this point. Like, it's so crazy to, like, a guy that was rumored to be the next Floyd Mayweather, the next pay-per-view star, and just throw it all away for being so fucking dumb and like, you know, his antics outside of the ring just, like, makes you just, you know, less of a fighter and, you know, less motivated and you're just more about the paycheck, right? But I'm just so happy now that we have Mikey Garcia, like, you know, at this light. We have him, you know, on this stage now where, you know, he's the man. You know what I mean? Like, there's no denying him now, bro. Like, he did his shit. He did his work. And, he did good, man. And I text you, Chris. You know, like, my prediction was, you know, Mikey Garcia, unanimous decision, and that's what it was. And the scorecards are like, oh, you know, they're bogus, you know what I mean? But, like, at the end of the day, the scorecards like that don't really upset me, but the only thing that I want is the correct, you know, fighter to win, and that's what happened with Mikey Garcia. You know, he had the you know, at least he got the win. That's all that mattered. But the scorecards are like, you know what I mean? Those judges had mercy on fucking Broner, bro. Like, They didn't, like, you know, they're watching out for Broner, dude. I don't know. And then what was it, like, the ninth round? Like, I believe Steve Farhood gave Broner the ninth round. I believe that was like a mercy round, dude. Because I think I heard you earlier, Chris. You said you gave Broner that first round, but for me, man, I think Mikey took that last, you know, those last moments where something actually landed. You know what I mean? So, in my opinion, I think Mikey clearly won, you know, 12 rounds, unanimous decision, all of them. Like, I really didn't give one round to Broner, man. Like, it was just, maybe I'm biased, I don't know, you know what I mean? I could be biased because I was definitely rooting Mikey Garcia here. And, hey, Chris, and let me ask you something, man. Like, I'm going to bring up something controversial and you know, I kind of want to speak about it because, like, dude, let's face it. This fight with Mikey Garcia and you know, Adrian Broner, man, I just feel like it was a race war. Like, to me, it was like, you know, Mexicans versus, you know, black guys and black guys versus Mexicans, and the black guys were going for, you know, Broner, and, you know, the Mexicans were all going for, you know, Mikey Garcia. And I don't know, did you have that kind of feeling in this case with this fight?
Not overwhelmingly, but I'm not surprised that it kind of turns into more rooting for your side, per se, almost like, you know, country to country type, you know, rivalry or whatever, because that does happen, obviously, you know, within our culture in the United States. But I didn't think it was like overwhelmingly that heading into it, because I saw plenty of on both sides, you know, saying that who they thought would win, and they thought Mikey would win. But, you know, it's to be expected to an extent, you know?
Yeah, to me, it just seemed like it, you know what I mean? Because, like, everything on Twitter, you know, the other shows that I listen to, and it just seemed like this was just a race war, you know what I mean? And, But I don't know. I mean, that's the way I felt about it. And usually that's the case for boxing. You know what I mean? Everybody always sticks to their nationality. You know what I mean? Like the Polish guys are always going to go for the Polish fighter. You know what I mean? So it's like it is what it is. But I just felt
right. Maybe
I just
it was
felt like
more
that,
because it was such a high profile fight too. You know?
Yeah, yeah, and it was, and definitely high profile fight, man. This one was like to see. You know, does Broner still have it? Is he still going to be a champion? Is he still going to be, you know, considered one of the top fighters? And then Mikey, you know, is he real? You know what I mean? Like, he had questions, too, coming into this fight. You know, can he keep up with a guy that's fought at 147, 140, you know what I mean, and been a champion at 147? And so there was a lot of questions coming into this fight. So, but, I mean, it is what it is. But it was a great fight, you know what I mean? And but I also I wanted to talk Charlo, man, you know, I'm so upset that, you know, Hyland came in injured, you know what I mean? But what gets to me more is that the backlash that Charlo got for this fight, because everybody's like blaming Charlo, like he, you know what I mean, like he hurt him, like somebody like in his team went like hit Hyland like in the knee with a baseball bat before the fight or something to handicap him or something,
right.
Some shit like that. It was, you know what I mean? So I was like, I was more mad about that. Because, yeah. Yeah. And, people like, you know what I mean? It's like, blame Hyland, dude. You know what I mean? Like, dude, Charlo, there's nothing to blame to Charlo. Charlo did what he had to
blame
do.
Blame the
you know
commission.
What I mean? Like,
blame the commission.
Exactly, dude.
If he was hurt before it, you know, that, oh man.
Yeah, blame the commission. And dude, and what a bullshit commission, too, man, because, like, they made – so it was reported that, you know, he came into the ring, you know, taped up to the – you know, his knee was taped up coming in, and then they saw it, and then they made him take it off. Like, man, this is an
yeah.
MMA. He's not gonna knee him, you know what I mean? He's not going to throw a leg kick. He's not going to high kick him, or you know what I mean? Like, he's not going to use it. I mean, obviously he's going to move around or whatever, but he's not going to, you know, physically use it on him. So it's like – That's one thing that got me mad. I was going to say, man, that poor bastard.
I've seen fighters with that, you know. That's what I couldn't figure out. I've seen plenty of fighters with that. Now it's like the New York commission is just it's like ever since that thing happened a while back and they're worried about getting sued, they're just going over the top for no reason on stuff, you know. But then they let them fight anyway. So even like Paulie Malignaggi's quick little pod that they put out today, he even said you actually come out looking worse because the guy passed your physical, you know.
Yeah, it makes them look even worse, man. And it's like that Brooklyn, I mean that New York commission is like, you know, they're watching out for their asses right now, because I mean they're in hot water for a second with that I believe it was that Russian fighter, you know, against Mike Perez, that, you know, that kind of ruined a lot of things. And you know, I guess they, you know, with the insurance and everything, but I get it. But like, man, that poor bastard, you know what I mean? Like, dude, just give him some, you know what I mean? Like, at least let him have that tape, dude. You know what I mean? Like, now he probably got more like damage to that knee into that fight. You know what I mean? Like, the way he was moving, like, you know, like Forrest Gump in there, and like I was like, man, I was feeling bad for him, dude. I was like, holy shit, dude, he's the poor guy. He's gonna probably take like a year.
Once you saw him bend that knee or whatever it was, calf, I think it was a knee. Once you saw him bend it that one way after Charlo hit him in the second round, you're like, oh, yeah, this dude, you can stop it at any time.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm happy that Charlo made that decision, that, you know, he was the one that was going to stop this fight, and that's exactly what he did. And you know what I mean? Don't dog on Charlo. Like, man, like, you know what I mean? You could blame Hyland, you could blame the New York commission, but I mean, at the end of the day, everybody needs a paycheck, and they're gonna do what they have to do to get that paycheck. So, you know, I don't blame Hyland either. You know what I mean? So, but it's just like, you know, the backlash that Charlo got, man. It's just like, you know, it's just. It kind of pissed me off, like, the, you know what I mean? Because, like, they're both in a bad spot, you know what I mean?
He's the Haven guy, too, you know? He's got
Haven
exactly. Guys, so they're going to get a little these, extra shit, you know?
Yeah, these Haven guys, man, they all get definitely shitted on Twitter, man. I just – Deontay,
people
I mean,
keep
probably
saying,
the
like,
most,
oh, you're just race baiting, or you're just saying that. But it actually – it's different. It's always different, it seems like, with Haven guys. I can understand with Broner, because Broner brings it on himself. But other than that type of stuff, the Haven guys always get the over-the-top stuff, you know?
Yeah, these Haven guys. And then they praise, you know, Lomachenko and Terrence Crawford and these Golden Boy fighters, and you know what I mean? But it's like, you know, that Heyman stable comes with hate, man. It's just like it's bad, but you know, at least they're still winning. You know what I mean? That's all that matters is that W. So, you know what I mean? So it's like it is what it is, but I don't know, man. It's just that backlash that he got, man. I felt bad for both fighters. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you know, they're both, you know, athletes. You know, they're both respected athletes. So it's like, you know, respect it. You know, just respect them. You know what I mean? It is what it is. It was Highland. You know what I mean? He came in injured, whatever. But also and also I wanted to kind of like talk shit about Showtime for the first time in my life. Like, usually I always praise Showtime for doing good shit, but like, man, this time, like, man, I was like mad, like, when, you know, when Baby Miller and, you know, what's her name, Taylor, was aired on YouTube and some Facebook live stream from Showtime, and I was like, man, put it on my fucking TV, dude. That's why I have a fucking subscription, dude. This is what the fuck I pay for, man. Like, that, like, that, now you're like, now I gotta watch it on my phone. You know what I mean? Like, on a smaller screen.
It's true.
Yeah. Like, now I gotta watch it on my fucking phone, and you know what I mean? Like, man, that's fucking dumb, dude. Like, it was just, I didn't like it, man. I was just like, that's why I got a fucking TV. That's why I got a big fucking TV, flat screen, you know, HD, LED. Like, dude, that's why I got it, dude. That's why I have this fucking subscription. And I do it. And I would, and I fucking, like, I tweeted at Showtime, and I really didn't think they were going to, you know, answer me. But, you know, I was like, you know, I said something like, you're robbing me, you know what I mean?
Say.
Like, why isn't this on Showtime Extreme? What's up?
What'd they say? Did they respond?
Oh, yeah, they responded. All they said is like, well, you can watch it on YouTube and Facebook. And I was like, oh, my. That's all they pretty much said. You know what I mean? That's what they replied with. You know, like, they kind of, like, they sent me some links. But I was like, man, like, that's what I was like. Dude, there was crummy-ass fucking movies on Showtime Extreme. That moment when Baby Miller and Taylor were fighting, there were some crummy-ass fucking movies probably no one's watching. Like, you couldn't fucking take that bullshit movie out of the way and just put that shit on there? Like, I don't know, man. That they got me with there because I was like, man,
they're trying to get like sign-ups, like free sign-ups, and doing that Showtime app thing too. You know, it's like a shield.
Yeah, it
makes
is, man.
Sense,
and,
but I know what you're saying. Because that usually is Showtime Extreme.
It is, man. And I know they were trying to get the casual fans because I mean, let's face it, the casual fans don't have Showtime, and if they do have Showtime, and I'm sure it's for like, you know, whatever TV show. Whatever program is on that day or whatever, but I know this was more towards the casual fans. They're trying to get the casual fans to stay tuned, and whatever. And it fucked the hardcore fan again, like me. It fucked me, and that's where I was more mad about, because I was just like they did it again. You know what I mean? Like, HBO is doing it. You know what I mean? But like I just hated that whole, you know, streaming it on YouTube. Like, I'm not trying to watch it on my phone. You know what I mean? Put it on my TV. You know what I mean? So like that's one thing that got me upset.
That's fair.
But
that's fair.
Yeah, man. That's one thing that just got me upset real bad. But also, Baby Miller looked good. You know what I mean? He's to me, you know, I like him. You know what I mean? He's great for the heavyweight division.
Did he look less fat on your phone?
He did, man. He looked a lot smaller. He did. He looked a lot smaller. He looked like a cruiserweight on my phone. And But yeah, man, he looked good, you know what I mean? And we all expected, to take care of business like that against Gerald Washington, El Gallo Negro. And but yeah, man, he moves on. But, there's a lot of fights for him, you know, now. And I guess he got some Showtime deal, which is great for him. And, I can't wait to see him again, because that dude, man, that dude has a mouth on him. And he could back it up right now. But let's see. Let's wait until he fights a real fighter, like a real technician. And, we'll go from there, because right now he's like
that?
This, like...
What about that Polish fighter that beat Stilka a couple weeks back? That'd be kind of a good fight.
That would be a good, you know, to see where he's at fight, you know what I mean? Like, to test the waters out, because I really don't know the other fighter that fought Stilka, but I did see him that night, and, you know, he took care of business, too. But, it is an intriguing fight, you know what I mean? Before, you know, because, like, right now, let's face it, he's not ready for, like, a championship fight, but he is maybe ready for, like, you know, a ranked guy, ranked number five, you know what I mean, somewhere around there.
Yeah, he had been off for 11 and a half months, so that's why he's also a little – he needs to get down about 280, you know?
Yeah, 280, man. He's way too big, man. There's some guy that's willing to go the distance with you, man. You're gonna, he's not gonna make it that 12th round, man. Like, he really needs to, like, cut down, like, yeah, like you said, 280, maybe 265. Like, he is, like, a thick dude. Like, have you seen his legs? Like, he looks like a bodybuilder. He's got, like, bodybuilder
that's
legs,
why I don't
dude.
Know
like,
how much of it's gonna come off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He carries it pretty well, considering he's overweight. But I think he could just take some of that off and just be in shape and look a little chubby instead of having a little too much, you know?
Yeah, and he really needs to, you know, do something with the diet because, like, it's just, it's you know, those kind of bodies, you know, only go, you know, a few rounds, you know, maybe six rounds at the most usually. But you know, he looked good, you know what I mean? So it's like, I can't wait to see him again and stuff. But yeah, man. But as far as that fight, I didn't get to see the Katie Taylor fight just because like I was cooking. She looked good, right? So I'm gonna catch that on YouTube later, and you know, hopefully. But you know what I mean? There's still a lot of questions with her. I really don't know too much about her, but you know, she took care of business too, and you know, I'm a big supporter of these female boxers, and you know, it was kind of cool. You know, just real quick, Amanda Serrano, you know, she put something on Twitter saying that, you know, she's going up in weight at 140. And, you know, and I believe her last fight was like
that.
Yeah.
I got the article out right here because I was going to tell you that because I know that we talk about her a fair amount and we're big fans. And sounds like it's going to be at either one of those October or November Barclays shows.
Yeah, dude, and I can't wait because that's a big step up because I believe her last fight – I believe it was like 118, 122 or something, somewhere around there. I don't know, but
is that where it would be?
Yeah, and the next one should be at 140. So I'm like, dude, like man, she's got to bulk up and you know start eating and you know, holy shit. But like man, that's a step up. I've never seen any girl step up like that before. And if that's fucking crazy, man. But I don't know too much about the opponent. Yeah, and that's what she wrote on Twitter, and you know, I was just like, holy shit, nigga, that's a good fight. Even though I don't know her opponent, but she's a champion at 140, so you got to think that she's dangerous and you know, in some sort. So, you know what I mean? So it's like that's gonna be a great fight when that happens. And she obviously said, I think she was like, it's like 60% done. But you know, so she's excited about it. And hey, man, if you're a boxing fan, you should be excited about that fight because that's gonna be a hell of a fight, man, and I support these girls, man. These girls can fucking fight. So, I just wanted to mention that real quick. And also, hey, Chris, you're forgetting to mention this card, bro. This fucking August and at Indio, California, man. The ESPN Deportes fight. Come on, this is the no Trump card, like Bob Arum likes to say. This is Mauricio Herrera versus Jesus Soto Carras, 10 rounds, welterweight. It's like, dude. I can't wait for that fucking fight, man.
That's why I'm doing a second show. I want to talk
the speed,
too.
Yeah, man. So, I want to bring it up real quick, man. I don't know, but I believe Jesus Soto Carras could pull this one off, man, because he's like the established 147 pounder. He's the longer reach, got the power, and obviously Mauricio Herrera. Just like he's right now, he's kind of lacking it. It kind of seems like he's kind of in and out of the sport. It's just, but I just feel like Jesus Soto Carras is like just the bigger man in that fight. So I'm gonna go with Jesus Soto Carras, man. But I mean, Mauricio Herrera ain't no chump, you know.
He's coming off wars, though, dude. He's coming off wars. Soto.
Yeah,
is.
Some real wars.
Come on,
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, some real wars. Yeah, right. Come on, oh yeah, dude. I can't believe. Yeah, that one. That one was hard for me to watch, to be honest with you, man. That one was hard for me to watch just because I love fucking.
The second one we didn't need. The first one was great. Mm-hmm. We didn't need the second one.
Yeah, he definitely needs the second one. And but yeah, man, that's gonna be a hell of a card. Even though I don't know too much of these people on the undercard, but I'm just excited about that main event, and I can't wait to watch it, man. Because that, I mean, to me, man, you know, you got Lomachenko this weekend, but I'm more excited about Mauricio Herrera, so Jesus Soto Carras, man. That's our fight, man. That's a Mexican's fight, so it's like, you know, that's gonna be a war, man. So, but yeah, man, I do see Jesus Soto Carras winning that fight, and as far as we got also Clarissa Shields that night
Mauricio.
Too.
I'm going Mauricio. That's
all right.
A good one, too. That's exactly why I want to do a second show, man, because Showbox has, I mean, Blitzless Shield, their hardest fight.
Yeah. Yeah, and her her fight is going to be difficult, right? This one's for a WBC vacant IBF belt middleweight title. So it's like, man, that one's going to be nice, but like,
Nikki
kind of
Adler, I think it is. Nikki Adler.
Yeah, Nikki Adler. I don't really know too much of her, but I'm sure this might be a showcase fight for Shields, but it should be exciting, you know what I mean? So, I mean, Clarissa Shields brings it. She's a fan favorite fighter. She comes forward. She's going to try to rip your head off, and, you know, that's what I like seeing. So, you know what I mean? So that should be good. That's a great card. And also
on ESPN, and remember, we got to remind people that Herrera Soto Carras fight is on normal ESPN. It's not ESPN2, okay. Golden Boy. It's on normal ESPN.
Normal ESPN, right? And I'm catching it on ESPN Deportes, man, just because I need that flavor. You know what I mean? I need that Spanish flavor to, you know, to get me pumped up and, you know what I mean, and excited.
That makes sense.
And
Teddy,
man, also
he's saying the same shit over and over again. Teddy.
Yeah, Teddy. Everybody loves Teddy, right? And but because that, you know, that Lomachenko fight versus Mariaga, man, that one's also on ESPN, and I'm also gonna catch that one on Deportes, man, because like it's just, you know, if Stephen A. Smith is there, man, come on, get him the hell out of there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the heat up, you know what I mean? Stop interrupting. And you know what I mean? Like, like I said before,
well,
last time, man, if you're tired
boxing,
of
boxing, you know, they'll probably talk boxing in between fights and stuff, you know? They won't just
yeah.
be running off at the lip and talking about Mayweather McGregor and stuff like that.
Dude, I'm sure they'll be talking about that all the time, dude. They'll probably make it the Mayweather McGregor show app, you know, during the Lomachenko fight and stuff.
Right.
And unless Bob Arum somehow, you know, got a hold of the ESPN production.
I'm sure they won't even mention it. Or
right? Wouldn't you be, like, if you're Bob Arum, if you're like, dude, tell these ESPN guys not to talk about, you know, Conor and Floyd. Like, no talking about that. You know what I mean? I'd be like, this is my show. You know what I mean? This is top rank on ESPN. So, I'm going to be catching that one on ESPN Deportes on Spanish because I just can't – I don't know, man. I just – sometimes if Stephen A. Smith is there, man, I just can't stand that dude either. And just like, you know, the other dude, Skip Bayless, like, you know what I mean?
Bayless, I can't stand that
dude either. Yeah, man.
Especially, it better not be an hour freaking post-fight this time. I mean, the last post-fight was like, dude, okay, go to SportsCenter. Then in 20 minutes, come back and give your, like, a shortened, you know, like, start SportsCenter already. We don't need to hear this shit over and over, you know what I mean?
That's
the only thing about that ESPN broadcast that really got to me was like, dude, like, I kept looking up because I was working technically that night. I kept looking up, I'm like, dude, it's the same post-fight show. Like, what the hell are they sticking with this for? And I understand, you know, it was the decision was controversial, so you had plenty of topic matter, but you still didn't need to go that long. It's not like it was some overly important fight, you know?
Yeah, man, and it wasn't, and I get it, man. It's just like sometimes I can't stand like you, man. Like, when is it over? You know what I mean? Just put SportsCenter on, you know? And but yeah, man. I'm gonna be catching. To be honest with you, even with the Bud Crawford fight, I'm gonna be catching that on ESPN Deportes too, because it's like, I don't know, you know what I mean? Because I know Stephen A. Smith is going to stick his head in there and ask, you know, and ask why doesn't he fight Spence Jr. too, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, you know? And I just can't stand those ESPN reporters, you know what I mean? Like, I like Teddy, you know what I mean? I like him, but sometimes he goes over the top, you know what I mean? And he starts, preaching his shit.
He's not as sharp as he once was. Obviously. He's just not as sharp as he once was. I love Teddy, loved him for years. If you haven't read his book, you should, but it is starting to wear a little thin on me at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at times, dude. I hear you, man. And because, like,
I can only hear the lime and the coconut, you know, and the water in the basement so many freaking times, you know?
Yeah, he's got a lot of those old school references, right? Like, like a lot of shit like that
moving,
and stuff.
Though. You know, he's got to use about 9 of them. The last couple of years, it seems like he's using, like, 3 of them, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, he's just sticking to what he knows now, you know. And and also because like on the ESPN Deportes, man, they got Marquez and that his buddy of his on a Golpe a Golpe. And you know those two, and those dudes are a great team because I really like their insides and you know their what Marquez is like, you know, analyze about the fight, you know, like he gets really into it, and you know, and even though his Spanish is really it's a lot more crisper than me because I mean like my Spanish sucks, you know what I mean, but I could understand it, and because I could never talk that way like you know like Marquez, but I understand it, and. But it's just a lot more crispier, you know what I mean? Like I just like their team a lot better, and but yeah, man, and but yeah, it should be an okay weekend, you know, for fights, you know, because I mean let's face it, Lomachenko should, you know, I think he should take care of business against Mariaga, and it should be pretty simple, you know what I mean? Mariaga, I've seen him a few times, you know.
Think he'll get a stop much, though? You think he'll stop him, or you think he'll go the distance?
I'm gonna say the distance, cause like. Mariaga is pretty solid, man. You know what I mean? Like he's pretty tough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's, you know what I mean? So I got to go with the distance this time because with you know Vasyl Lomachenko when he knocked out you know what's his name Martinez, you know he, you know what I mean? Like he was kind of a shot fighter. You know what I mean? He's had some wars with Salido. You know got stopped by Mikey. You know what I mean? You know, so it's like you know these sometimes
yeah.
These fighters, you know. It can't last too long, so but with Mariaga, you know what I mean, like he's kind of been, you know, kind of laying low waiting for an opportunity, and you know this is it right here, and from his interviews you know he seems pretty hungry, so I'm gonna say Vasyl Lomachenko unanimous decision, and I think a clear 12 rounds, like I think it's gonna be like the him and against Walters, you know what I mean, but without the stoppage, you know what I mean, like because this Mariaga ain't gonna stop, you know what I mean, like that dude comes from a different cloth. That dude's gonna be all 12 rounds and try to land the biggest shot he can to put away Vasyl Lomachenko. So, in my opinion, yeah, I got Vasyl a unanimous decision on that one, and Raymundo Beltran. You know, that one should be pretty good scrap, man. And you know, I don't know too much about Brian Vasquez, but. But I love watching Raymundo Beltran fight. You know what I mean? Like he, for some reason, he's always fighting for a green card, and you know that's his thing.
Yeah,
now,
like
you guys are saying with the TK.
Like, what more does the guy got to do? Are they just fucking with us? And it's like they're just using it as like a ploy to advertise for his fights or something. Like, because otherwise, I thought that was the last one. And he had to win that one. Then he had it. Now they're still deciding. Like. That's messed up. That's true.
Yeah, they're hanging it over his head. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? So they're like, hey,
carrot,
come on,
you
know? You
know, just dangling the carrot. It's like, dude, how many times the guy's bitten the fucking carrot? Shit.
Yeah, I know. Man, it's probably, you know, it feels like it's got like a mafia style thing going to it. You know what I mean? Like theme going with it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I don't know, man. But the poor guy. You know what I mean? Especially. During this Trump presidency, it is kind of you know what I mean. It is kind of tougher right now, but you know I hope the best for him. You know what I mean, I hope he's able to win, and you know I hope everything gets together with him being able to stay in the country because you know he's a good guy and you know what I mean he's a fighter's fighter, and you know what I mean and he's also Mexican, so I could relate. So but I like him, you know what I mean? So like, you know, but I, you know, I think he should get the win here. So I'm going to go with Beltran in this fight too. And, maybe, and hopefully, you know what I mean? I wouldn't mind seeing him versus, you know, Jorge Linares or another 135 pounder out there or something, you know what I mean? So, you know, I don't know, but, you know, Raymundo's good. So,
Linares
but also,
has a fight, with Luke Campbell from the UK. On late September on HBO.
Oh, is it late September?
Late September. It's like September 30th or something like that. Maybe the weekend before, September 23rd, something like that. Yeah, it's the 23rd, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. But yeah, man. But yeah, Chris. I'm gonna cut it short, man, because I got to get back to you know the grind here. You know what I mean? And,
yes, sir.
And get my paycheck. You know what I mean? Just like Floyd says, it's always about the check. So, but also Chris, I just want to thank you for having a show for for me, man, you know what I mean? I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, man, and thinking about me, man, because, you know what I mean? Because I can't get onto too many shows, you know what I mean? And, you know, this is my favorite show. The Rope-A-Dope Radio is where I'm going to, you know, spill my heart and talk my shit and praise the best sport in the world, and that is boxing, and only boxing, a real fight, not a half fight, not a quarter fight, a real fight. And if you want to see a real fight on August 26th, watch Floyd Mayweather. Watch Floyd Mayweather put the business on that fucking McNugget dude, and let him go back into the cage, you know what I mean, and swim with those sharks, because those motherfuckers don't know shit about boxing. And, you know, fuck Mayweather, fuck McGregor, and, you know, I want to thank you, Chris, for having me on, brother.
All right, man, you take it easy. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Anytime, bro.
All righty. So I see Dr. Uppercut. I'm going to go to him in just a moment. I'm glad we did this second show, because, like I said, I had basically broken down the Lomachenko Mariaga fight. I did think it was about 8-4. I could see 7-5 potentially, but I think it was about 8-4. The scorecards were ridiculous in that one. I'm talking ridiculous. 119-108. That's Letterman's daughter, I believe. Somebody else had it 118-109. And one had it about right, 116-111. I could see 7-5. 9-3, let me see my scorecard from that Oscar Valdez Mariaga fight. Yeah, I think he won for sure 3 rounds, but I'd say for sure 4 rounds, probably. Anyway, he got outworked at times in the fight. He definitely put Valdez on the move. It wasn't the Valdez. Now, in spurts, it was. As far as it wasn't the Valdez that was coming forward, attacking the body and showing that style. He was showing more of a stay busy, be on the outside style. But he also hurt him with a great, he got hurt by a great uppercut by Mariaga in that 10th round. But he also, you know, that's when he knocked him down, too. So it was a great round, that 10th round. But he was tired. You know, Valdez was in the last couple rounds, that 11th round especially. That was a really good fight, though. It was a good fight. And with Walters, I saw that was a clear victory, although he did fight and all that. He came to fight and all that type of thing. You know, he was trying to win. It probably was a 9-3 fight, maybe. I don't know. But I think he does line up with Lomachenko. I don't think it's like Salido. I think you'll hear that on the broadcast and in the lead up that, you know, this is a poor man's version, but he doesn't really get, not many people do get inside like Salido and be able to rough you up and land effective punches and kind of those wild overhand rights. You know, there are some things that the relentlessness and, you know, the activity and going for it, especially if Lomachenko's around. I feel like he'll be using his footwork a lot in this fight. But I think it is, like I said right before, I think we were getting cut off. I think this is what I was saying, too, with Lomachenko on the earlier show, earlier this night. It's getting pretty late now. I don't know. I don't see Lomachenko fighting on the inside, but I do think it is a good come for a guy that's pretty sturdy, to give him a look like that, because that's the one thing, you know, he fought Russell after it. He fought Walters. Then he's fought some other guys that were like, well, he's going to win, you know, like his last fight, the fight he had, I believe on the undercard of Mayweather and Pacquiao. There's a couple fights in there where you're like, yeah, this is just, seems like a waste, but everybody deserves stay busy fights as long as it's... The problem with this fight is it's back-to-back, more of that variety, but I do think stylistically, like I mentioned earlier, it's going to be a good fight to watch. And Lomachenko, if he fights right and doesn't try to, you know, engage on the inside at all either, unless he has to at times, but I think if he uses footwork, he could definitely win this fight going away. If he stops him, I think it'll be maybe the TKO where the face is just cut up so much or swelled up, or he gets dropped a couple times, and then, you know, that type of thing. Like I mentioned, I do have Herrera, Mauricio Herrera. I'm going with the fresher guy. He did just fight, too, so he'll be sharper, pretty sharp, I'd say. What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the top rank, Todd DeBuff and Loma stuff. Loma saying that he looked tired after six rounds. Mikey did, saying he looked slow and he looked bad, as if it was a bad performance, which doesn't make sense. And then, you know, DeBuff as well kind of criticized Mikey. And he also said, well, you know, you want to fight Lomachenko and Crawford and Pacquiao, but you're not part of top rank anymore. And then he brought up the Gamboa fight that we all knew was going to come with an extension. And that happens, you know, throughout your career. Extensions happen and, you know, you end up getting a nice paycheck, but then have to extend and all that. The problem was you can't really say that anymore because it's 2.5 years ago anyway. Plus, top rank was the one, the court case didn't go their way. So they actually dropped Mikey at the last second because they knew where it was headed. So Mikey, as far as the contract, you could say it was a mistake and debate if it was a mistake to take that time off. I think it was in certain ways, and I also think it was obviously good, healthy for him too, because he even said it. We all knew he didn't have a – he wasn't one of those guys that just really loved the sport, Mikey, you know, because it just came naturally to him from his family, and then he'd always worked at it, so he'd gotten bored and kind of – monotonous if you're doing it since you're a kid. So I think I don't know. To me, this whole situation, you can argue that he shouldn't take that time off. But if you argue, you know, the whole, when Mikey says the way he describes it at numerous times now is that literally they were trying to basically it's kind of like having a rookie, just a correlated to like NBA or NFL, you have a rookie contract, and then the next contract you got, your extension, it wasn't bigger. It'd be like the NBA, where that the second contract's going to be bigger. And he's clearly, at that point, wasn't like he was a big name. He was a name. He was fighting on HBO. He was definitely on the up and coming. He was on the pound for pound list. He wasn't a star. And Mike even says, but it should have been better money, not similar or same money. You know, so he had been on a contract, he had been a champion, he had fought, defended his belt, so now it's time to extend. Well, you should get more money. And they did, it did seem like they were just waiting him out and figured he'd need some money at some point, and Mikey invested well, and he didn't need the money, so he won the court case and all that. So, like I said, you could say he made a mistake by taking all that time off because of the, you know, it hurts your branding and your name value, yes. For sure, but it is what it is, and he technically was getting screwed. So I'm going to side with the fighter in this situation. Not only that, in this situation, it's different because the first year of his comeback, he got a stay busy fight, he got a belt, scored one of the best knockouts of the year, and now he's just beat the biggest name he's ever faced in front of the biggest crowd for him being in a main event. So Mikey's fully back now. And it's all on the up from here. And that's why I think it's kind of funny that they're going back and forth. We'll see about this whole top rank on ESPN deal if they're willing to put up $800, $900, $1 million like Showtime would be. In HBO, I guess you'd probably say. But especially Showtime. Well, maybe not with HBO's budget problems, right? But you know, they offered over $700,000 to Salido for this fight on ESPN. So that tells you they can do a little more, right? They'd have to for Mikey. He just got a mil in his last fight. Maybe even $800,000, $900,000, whatever the case is. Will they do that and risk it and only have an option? Or, you know, they could do this. They could have a rematch clause in there for Lomachenko and for both of them that they can both use if they want. Or just for Loma, just to give it to him. So that'd be two fights that they owe if he chooses to exercise the rematch, and then an option. So it'd be a three-fight deal with Top Rank to fight Loma. You know, that I think at the minimum that he may have to do that. And I think Mikey, the way you hear all these interviews with him, it sounds like he'd do that. We heard him say something about, well, they can come to Showtime. That's something he wasn't saying even up until the lead-in. And I think it was a combination of, you know, I don't know. Even in the lead-up, Steven Espinoza, the Showtime head over there, he even said from time to time you got to let people go. Danny Jacobs just went over on HBO because it was big money for him, and they said, hey, that's cool, you know. But who knows what happens if Showtime does put up $1 million for Lomachenko to come on over. Will Bob take it, you know? Will Bob have him take the fight, or will they, you know, put it in the budget that they have for this ESPN thing? I don't know. But if they got, you know, $700,000 plus for Salido, then that means they can make the fight. He just got $1 million for Broner. And that's on Showtime. And Showtime, you know, they got a big budget. So I think they got to make this fight next. And like I said, from their side, I think they shouldn't have said anything about his performance, because for his performance, Mikey's performance was great. They should have just said, well, we'll see. I don't think he really wants to, like, kind of call his bluff. All right, well, then come over. Because you can't make it as easy as saying, well, Mikey, now you want to fight these guys, but you're not with us. Well, why are you not on Top Rank? Why is Mikey not on Top Rank? Well, he was technically, including the courts, technically Top Rank was in the wrong in that one. So you can't talk, you know, a certain way saying, oh, now you want to fight these guys, these three guys, Pacquiao, Crawford, Lomachenko. But you're not with us anymore. Why didn't you want to be with us? Well, there was a dispute that actually Mikey won, even though he lost in some ways, of course. But anyway, that's kind of weird. Make the fight then, December. And ESPN, right? I think I've already figured out the date. You do it a week after. It's the second week in December. You do it a week after college football. The conference finals are all done, and they take a break, right? And the Heisman Trophy Award ceremony is that next Saturday. So you just do a lead in there. They got the Hall of Fame this weekend. They got a Hall of Fame inductee show. So that's pretty cool. That's a great lead in for Lomachenko. And that's why I think that they haven't just killed it with a ton of commercials for this, you know, and talked about it a lot, is because they feel like their lead-in is going to be good enough. But that would be a perfect lead-in. Second week in December, the lead-in from the Heisman. The Heisman's like an hour show or something like that. And do it there. You got the budget. You got this deal. Let's see. You know, will it happen? I don't know. But if you're both going to talk, you got to make the fight happen. I mean, what a way to cap 2017. With Lomachenko against Garcia. And obviously, if Garcia wins that fight, he's the fight of the year, you know, fighter of the year, easy. But that's what needs to happen next. Garcia, though, I think he should go down to 135, let his body adjust even to 135, because it's not like he's been there a long time anyway. And then when he comes to 140, I think it'll be a little bit better. He doesn't need to be at 140 right now. Just look at him at the scale. I know it was his first time, too, doing it, but I'd stay at 135. You have Linares that you may have to chase for a while, but they're gonna call it. He'd have to drop a belt, you know. Easter Jr. is with Heyman, so it's doable. And then obviously Lomachenko coming up. That's the three big fights. There's just so many names. 140 is gonna, you know, Crawford's gonna probably move up. There's going to be a lot of belts available, and maybe that's something that in a year or two, when you're done fighting here, you can go up, you know? That's what I think Garcia should do. Go back to 135 for sure. Now, Broner, well, he should just hang at 140. Stay at 140, though. Forget 147. Stay at 140. Crawford's going to win, and like they say, they think he's going to drop all the belts. So either way, there's going to be, he's going to drop some of them because there'll be too many, you know, there'll just be too many that'll be like, oh, you got to fight this. Oh, you got to fight this. And they'll start dropping one or two anyway. So I think Broner should probably do that. Because he didn't look bad. He was in shape. He had a great camp. I don't think it was just – a lot of people were like, well, he doesn't – he's not getting off, dude. He's not – well, dude, you know, he's a – he. It hurt. Mikey Garcia was hitting him with flush shots too. He could shake his head all he wants, like I was saying on the first show. Anyway, I got all I needed to get out. We talked up the schedule. It's a busy fight weekend. I'm going to bring in Dr. Uppercut and see what he has to say about last weekend and some fights going on this weekend. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing tonight, Chris?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I had a kind of a frustrating show. The first, like, 20 minutes, something was just dropping, and it was giving us problems. Then it was fine for a while, and then it dropped a little into the archive. It was like, oh, we hadn't even got to Portland. We hadn't even got to really talking about this weekend and other stuff. So I said, screw it, man. We're going to do another show. It's going to be shorter than normal, but that's fine. At least we got this in. And, you know, it allowed you to be able to call. So it's perfect.
Yeah, sounds great. You know, I haven't been able to call in, but I've still been listening. A bunch of great shows going on. I heard the Bob Barham interview. So lots of great stuff here going on at Rope Dope Rodeo. And I'm glad I got a chance to be a part of it tonight.
Hell yeah, man. So what'd you think of Mikey Garcia, man? For me, he really put on a display, and it was fun to see him cut off the ring and put Broner on the rope at times too.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he looked great. It's just a pure display of fundamental brilliance in my eyes. I mean, really, he wasn't the faster fighter. He might not even been a stronger fighter, but he was able to box so well that really, you know, the first 9 rounds, you could debate the first, but I thought that, you know, 2 through, if I'm trying to remember right, is either 2 through 8 or 2 through 9 was a sweep. And then Broner, and it's funny because it was the case of, I thought the announcement was pretty good. You know, they had mentioned on the broadcast, hey, Broner needs to get inside. You know, that's where all his best work is going on. And, you know, towards the end of the fight, he was starting to do that and starting to impose his will on the inside and really making the rounds a lot closer. And I thought he won a couple of them. But it was just too little too late. And even after, I think if I can remember right, cause I watch him twice, but I only watched it once and I watched it live. I think it was round 10 where Broner got inside and he really decisively won the round just with the good body work and the, you know, really being able to use his hand speed advantage on the inside, because he was really ripping shots off and really able to work Mikey's body. But then it just seemed on the next round that he got tired.
I think it was round 9.
Just didn't feel like
round 9
it.
Or round 10.
Yeah, and then the next round, after it seemed like he got some momentum from the fight, you know, he went back to fighting on the outside again. And overall, you know, Mikey Garcia looked great, but, you know, Adrian Broner has been, you know, kind of the focus of boxing for a while, as far as, you know, he was supposed to take over Floyd, and we kind of realized that wasn't going to happen. And now we're kind of watching and saying, hey, what's going to go on with this guy's career? And it's funny because, you know, they all talk about, you know, talent, talent, talent. But, you know, I just see hand speed and, you know, a little bit of power. But, you know, as far as him being –
like amateur
yeah,
level,
as far as in this,
you know,
massive,
looks like
waste
he could win
talent,
three rounds. You know, if he could be in a 3-round fight where just ba ba bam, ba ba bam, you know, he could probably win a lot of those fights.
Yeah, but he went to being, you know, I really was excited watching him when he was younger. You know, 130 and 135, he was must-see TV, and I was really buying into the hype just for his ability to kind of box on the outside. And the low output didn't bother me back then because he would walk his opponents down and get the knockout. So it was, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
You can have a low
every
output if you're just setting
every
something up.
Count.
Yeah. But now that he's gone up in weight, I mean, it's just one of those things where he's obviously not taking the sport seriously. And we all kind of knew going into it, you know, when, you know, you weren't the only one to say, you know, hey, how many times are you going to say, no, I'm really devoted to the sport this time. You know, now this time I'm serious about boxing.
Right.
You know, it's time to take my boxing career serious. Like, how many times can you say that? So we weren't falling for it. The cool thing for me was a lot of bettors were, because Mikey Garcia opened it at about minus 1450, and I think I got him on fight day at -160, which I thought was
shrunk,
a steal.
It shrunk,
dude.
So, majorly.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how much money was coming
like
on
that,
Broner.
You will not. That just shows you how popular Broner is, because you will not see a line like that move. Because the fight got announced kind of late, only like 2 months. You know, it wasn't announced five months ago or nothing like that.
Yeah, but I thought the opening line was perfect, you know, and then, you know, just to see it keep moving in the direction, I'm thinking, what are these guys seeing that I'm not seeing, you know? I'm like, is there a syndicate coming on him? You know, like, is there someone that's seeing stuff
like
that I'm not seeing? But,
you know, I thought it could have been about 3-1 or 2.5-1. The 5-1 for me did seem a little wide considering Broner's such a known guy. I knew it would shrink, but I didn't know it'd shrink like that.
But the thing with Broner at this point of his career is, you know, this punch output's going to be low, that it's going to be hard for him to win a decision. And, you know, at these higher weight classes, it's going to be hard to get a knockout. And with Garcia, you know, being so defensively responsible, I didn't see, you know, his path to victory, really. Because now you look at Broner and you say at 140 and 147, like, what top guy, what belt holder would you favor him against? And I can't think of any. I see a guy who's fun to watch. He's fun to tune into, you know. But I don't really see a guy that I see contending for a title.
So he can. I think that's why he's got to stay at 47 and let these belts.
Well, this one was at 40, wasn't it? It was at 140.
I'm sorry, at 40. My fault. Yeah, I was
saying that earlier.
40, but I just stepped 7 now. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't
think
he should go back to 47.
And let belts come out. You know, let these belts come out, because he didn't look as bad as people were saying, as far as his body looked good and all that. He didn't look that faded at all. We're just not seeing him. We're not used to seeing him look skinny. That was the thing. And we're like, whoa, damn. Does he, you know, we're not used to seeing a skinny face. So he could actually take his shirt off.
Yeah, it just got frustrating to watch, as far as, you know, how many times are you going to see a guy, either he either ate the 1-2 or he blocked the 1-2 and then shake his head. And then it got to the point where it's like, okay,
that went off in the last
what are you shaking
earlier,
your head for?
That exact thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like, dude, the guys that have done that in the past are either winning the fight or end up winning that round.
Yeah. I can see it here or there, but when you're constantly not responding to anything and just shaking your head, I mean, it's just – it was frustrating for a viewer.
You're like, dude, you're down 7-1. Stop. You know?
Yeah. And so his inability to really counter Garcia, you know, led to his undoing. And I don't know what it is that's causing him to not pull the trigger. You know, I don't know if it was the fact that Garcia kept, you know, just tagging him. And, you know, when you're a precise puncher, even though if you're not hitting as hard, it can hurt more because, you know, the precision of the punch and the way that they're able to land it. And I think that's an attribute that Garcia has going for him. But it's just really disappointing to see this guy's punch output. And all that being said, I'll probably tune in the next time he fights. So, you know, he's still an interesting character. He's still fun to watch. But it's just one of those things where it's just really disappointing.
What should Mikey
just
do
to
here?
See a guy that
from here
you think
on
he could be more. Pardon?
What should Mikey do? Stay at 135 and try to sniff out some of these unification fights, then go back up to 140 and see what's there, and then ultimately someplace else? Or do you think he should hang around?
I'm actually really not sure. It really depends on what he can get. I mean, is Lomachenko going to go up to 135 and fight him? Or, is the money fight at 140? Yeah, I think that if I'm him, I'm going where the money is. And, you know, I'm going for the big fights. I thought he looked fine at 140. I thought he looked comfortable making the weight. I thought that he definitely packed enough pop to deter him. I don't think he looked weak at the weight class. So if I were him, I would just go to where, you know, you can get a high-profile fight and stay going against other sharp guys that are going to, you know, test your mettle and really, you know, prove your worth. Because he's already missed so much of his career. I don't think he needs to waste time, you know, beating guys that we know he's going to beat just to, you know, clear out a division or something of that nature. Because we've
That's
seen, you know, with Golovkin, how long that can take. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
you can tell. Because he had a chance to fight at the StubHub, and he turned it down and kept searching for a different fight that's popped up.
Which one did he turn down?
No, just like an ordinary contender type fight that wouldn't have made any sense.
Okay, well, yeah, I think that's a good
It basically, Showtime said, hey, here's the money, here's a list of the opponents, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I think he should go for the biggest fights here on out. He's in his prime. He's already missed enough time as it is. I would love to see him fight Lomachenko. I think that he might be a little too big for him, but I think the Lomachenko would look really fast compared to him, and I think it would be fun to see a guy, you know, that's so fundamentally sound like Garcia go against a guy like Lomachenko who's fundamentally sound but probably a little more athletic and probably a little more creative with his ability to put combinations together. So I love that fight, but if he stays at 140 or if he wants to fight Terrence Crawford, I mean, that would be a fantastic fight too. Garcia Crawford, I love that fight right there. Because that's another one where you have two fundamentally sound guys, you know, two guys that are really at the top of their game as far as their ability to box and use the fundamentals to defeat their opponents and not just athleticism. And so I think that would also be an intriguing matchup too. So I just want to see a match tough, and I want to see, you know, more fighters that are going to bring out the best of his abilities, because although Broner did it late by going inside and actually, you know, challenging Garcia by mitigating the distance and getting inside to where, you know, Garcia couldn't just keep him at arm's length, and where he was within, Garcia could score, but Broner couldn't because, you know, his arms weren't long enough. And I thought he did a good job mitigating the distance. And when Broner was able to get inside, it was really a close fight. Now, I don't think, you know, either of the two fighters we mentioned in Lomachenko or Crawford, you're ever going to have an issue with those fighters not being active enough, you know, which was, I thought, Broner's downfall. You know, he really should have gone for it a lot earlier. You know, if he would start turning that in round four, round five, you know, we have a whole different fight on our hands. I just don't think Adrian Broner is the person that is capable for that, but I think that both Vasyl Lomachenko and Terrence Crawford are. And it's kind of funny because I think they're both so good, it just comes down to size, to where I think I would favor Garcia against Lomachenko, but I would favor Crawford against Garcia if either of those fights were to be made. But once again, like I said, if I'm him, I go for any of those. Those are high-profile fights. Even if he takes losses in either of them, I don't think it would diminish his ability to be a draw or, you know, to continue to make money in his next fight, even if he loses to either of those fighters. So hopefully he chooses to challenge himself, because he's great TV, and he's the type of fighter that you would watch. If you wanted a young fighter to learn fundamentals, you'd say this is what you're trying to look like when you're practicing some of these boring drills and things of that nature, and why, you know, you might work on your jab over and over again when you're ready to do some flashy combinations and some fun network, you know. But Garcia is the type of fighter, because he uses his fundamentals so well, and like I said, he mitigates distance probably better than anyone, you know, below 154.
Yeah, it's true, man. He definitely was. He was just perfect, man. He was just damn near perfect, I should say. It wasn't perfect, but yeah, I liked the fact that he was cutting the ring off. I liked the fact that at times when he would get on the rope, he'd always throw a good combination, the uppercut, and he finally went to the body too. They mentioned that on the broadcast. Finally, because now that I thought about it, when they mentioned it, I thought, yeah, Mikey isn't necessarily the biggest body puncher, but he definitely was effective with the body as well.
Yeah, definitely. Although I thought that when they did get inside Broner, that was when Broner was doing the best. I thought that if anything, you know, the Broner fight, if I were to take that and I'm looking, I would say, you know what, this is where I'm going to press my advantages if I'm, you know, his next opponent. You know, it's the fact that on the outside, he's almost flawless. On the inside, I think there are more flaws that you can take advantage of. And I think that pretty much the fact that he only has what I would consider to be average hand speed, I think that's one of them that matters on the inside. Where on the outside, because he's able to keep his distance right, well, you're not in position, so it doesn't matter that he's a little slower. And the fact that he counters so well, I think that was another reason that Broner didn't want to let his hands go, is that off the jab, Mikey was finding a home for that counter right quite often, and I think that was one of the things that discouraged him from throwing. But I think that the lack of athleticism and the lack of hand speed can be more taken advantage of on the inside. So I think that both Lomachenko and Crawford have the styles and the ability to maybe get inside and take advantage of that flaw that I saw.
So, what do you think about this weekend that some people are talking about, that Mauricio Pereira, Jesus Soto Carras? I'm going with Herrera just because Soto Carras is just a little past it. Although we say that every couple of years, and then he puts on a good performance. But the fact that he's coming off, you know, not that last year, you know, those two hard fights back to back, and just Lomachenko in general. I mean, I don't know. He needs to move up to 135, Lomachenko. There's no other fight, because Gervonta Davis and him are not going to fight for a while, for obvious reasons. And, man, 135 is deep, man. It's pretty crazy how weight classes have flows, you know, ebbs and flows. And 135 has been pretty weak, actually. You know, there's so much talent, 140, 147, and then the featherweights and even below. That's where a lot of the talent is. But you think Lomachenko is just going to stop this dude, Mariaga, this weekend?
Yeah. When it comes down to it, yes. I don't think he's going to necessarily get that highlight one-punch knockout, but I think that he's just going to accumulate so much damage that the ref will either stop it or his corner will throw in the towel. I just think that, you know, he's too good and too fast. But I think that it's going to be a fun TV fight for us. I think that Mariaga has the ability to provide Lomachenko some wrinkles. I think that, you know, take him two or three rounds to figure out the timing and the type of offense that he wants to execute. And I think that he's also tough enough to make some adjustments of his own and force Lomachenko to adjust again. So that's why I think for us, you know, I think it could be a very good TV fight. I think that we could see, you know, the fight start one way. I think we can see Lomachenko make some adjustments, and I think we can make Mariaga make some adjustments right back, and then see if Lomachenko readjusts, which I personally expect him to, because I hold him in really high regard. And like I said, I think the second adjustment is what's going to lead to the eventual stoppage. But I think it'll be a good TV fight, even though I don't necessarily think that the outcome is that much in doubt. But we've talked about that before with you know, with certain fights that we know that are going to be fun action fights, but we're pretty sure we know who's going to win. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. I think it's one of those fights where, you know, during the week I'm not necessarily as excited, but when Saturday night rolls around, I'll be pretty excited to watch it. It's just on paper, it doesn't really just jump out to you as much, you know. But I think once the bell rings and you're seeing a fighter of that class and that technical ability, it's always fun to watch. And, you know, I'll definitely
and
be
a guy that's
going to
bring it, too.
To it.
You at least know he's going to bring it. He's not Salido, but he's going to bring it.
Oh, yeah. I think that he is fairly crowd savvy, and the fact that he knows that it is entertainment as well as just winning. And that by, you know, getting the knockouts and by pushing the button on the gas and maybe taking some risks, he makes himself must-see TV and really elevates him in the eyes of us, the fans that are consuming it all, and make it to where, you know, like I said, with the last fight, who are we talking about instantly? Mikey Garcia puts on a great performance, and we're instantly like, okay, now we want to see against Lomachenko. And I think that's the fact that he is willing to step on the gas and try and get finishes that makes us want to keep seeing him, you know. And the fact that, you know, he's getting wins. I mean, you get two undefeated fighters like that. I mean, it's just it's really what, as boxing fans, that we really all like to see, and what we kind of were complaining about not happening for a while. But 2017, that seems to be turned around, where we're getting all the fights that we want and all the fights that are kind of starting to make sense are just happening.
That'd be so silly if that ended like mid-December, if that ended the year, man, if we got that. Did you see
and
that?
You know what?
Valdez? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, as cynical as I've been, I actually would not even be surprised if that ended the year the way this year is going. I mean, last year I was a cynic where I didn't think any good fights could get made.
Right.
And this year I'm just like, oh, yeah, I mean, it probably will get made, you know? So it's so funny how you get some good fights, some good scheduling, and your whole attitude as a fan turns around.
Hey, did you see that Oscar Valdez, Miguel Mariaga back in, I think, April? Did you see that fight?
I remember watching it live, but I don't. That's not coming back to me right now.
Because that was like a pretty good fight, and Oscar Valdez started out kind of back and forth, and then Valdez got on his bike a little bit and moved in boxing, just kind of outworked him. But then Mariaga came back and pressured him and hurt him, but then he knocked him down. I think it was like the 10th round he knocked him down, and Valdez clearly won. It was like 8-4, maybe 7-5, but I'd say 8-4. It was a good fight, though, and it just, I don't know. Oscar Valdez is obviously not as good on the outside. As long as Lomachenko keeps moving and use that footwork, I think it's going to be tough to beat him. But like you said, stylistically, obviously Top Rank knows what they're doing. More than likely, this will be I always think they're going to use the, you know, Salido, the poor man Salido, you know, punchline when they talk about Mariaga. They're going to be like, he brings it. And, you know, so it does get, like I was saying earlier, it does give him a look at that style. Maybe it's not Salido exactly, but at some point he's going to get roughed up again like Salido did it, and it'd be nice to see how he responds, you know.
Well, even in the Salido fight, he started responding towards the end by you know, giving some of the dirty business back to him, so that was definitely a great learning experience for him. So if it happens again, I don't think that he will be as tentative to go ahead and start bending the rules. If he feels the rules are being bent against him and the referee's not doing anything. I think that fight was a great learning experience for him. And it's just funny how people are, like, clamoring for the rematch. And I understand, you know, as far as, you know, unfinished business for Lomachenko fans. But I don't know. I think there's just so many other great fights out of there. Like, if it gets announced, I'm not against it. But it's not it's not like, you know, a must match that I have to see, or that I really think that Lomachenko's career will be, you know, in some way downgraded if he doesn't avenge that defeat, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he'd have to keep challenging himself in the future now, but yeah, I know what you mean. Definitely.
I mean, even now, Salido's been through so much since that fight. You know, it's not...
Salido should be
not
a
even...
unified champion at 130, you know?
Because he's been getting robbed, but
he's been taking beatings. Like a lot of
damage. Yeah, he's been taking beatings in those fights. So, you know, how much
fight,
are we going to put that poor guy through?
Yeah, exactly. And even in his last fight, it was just a tune-up to try to get ready for it. He just couldn't. He just, you know, it takes a while to get the engines revved up again. That's why I think he didn't take this time around. Because he had to fight in, you know, early August, and it was like late. It was almost June. He's like, no, I'm good. Catch me on the go-around, you know. But they say they're going to give him another year, you know, because he was banged up or whatever. So, like you said, I mean, I'd like it as a fight to lead to something. It'd be a lot better, I think, than this fight or his last fight or some of his other fights. But overall, you know, to come off the loss and take on Russell and then Walters, that's key. But, yeah, his next fight, I think, for Lomachenko is – it needs to be solved, though, because that would be back-to-back clear favorite fights, you know. So this next fight needs to be something. And what better way than go right to Mikey, you know?
Right, and, you know, in hindsight, obviously it wasn't there, but I thought going into it that Walters seemed to have a better shot as far as, you know, his path to victory, because we knew that Walters could crack. And so, you know, the proverbial puncher's chance, I thought, was more alive in the Walters fight, even though, you know, we had all favored Lomachenko. And I don't think, I remember during the previous show, I don't think anyone picked Walters. I mean, I just thought that he had more of a path to victory than, say, Mariaga does, because, you know, the toughness is one thing,
That's
but if you don't have that one punch eraser. So, yeah, let's hope he gets matched tough after this. But they've been doing a good job of keeping him active. So I think he'll get another fight before the end of the year. You know, that's one good thing about this August. August is usually a downtime. But I'm liking the fact that all these guys getting these fights in August, you know, late July, early August.
Dude, these
stuff
last
like that,
couple of,
you know,
summers have been – there's been a lot of action, dude. These last 3 years, there's been a lot more summer fights now. It's fucking sweet, man.
Well, I think it's good, because if you remember when I first started calling a couple years ago, I was saying that because I was saying this is the dead time for sports. you know, baseball playoffs haven't really ramped up yet. NBA is just a bunch of,
yeah,
you know,
UFC,
soap opera rumors right now.
That's about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for
and
sure.
You got, and, but actually, if you notice, the UFC takes advantage of it, too. They do their little international fight
that's
week where
they
you know, load everything up. And they do it in July, which is pretty much, you know, right after the NBA Finals. You know, and it's the doldrums of the baseball season to where, you know, it's kind of the grind. You kind of know who's good in this and that, but, you know, it's not, you know, must see TV like, you know, the
right.
baseball will command the ratings there in October. So I think this is great that, you know, that we had been saying it and now it seems to be happening. And I think it's great because, it's also getting more attention. Even on some of the ESPN fights, I know that some of my buddies have, you know, just hit me up like, oh, hey, you're watching this fight on ESPN, you know, like with the Pat Corn and everything. And I don't think during football season they would have turned it on, you know, because they would have been watching, you know, Florida State versus Auburn or, you know, Washington
right.
State versus USC
or, they would have flipped
you know,
it.
Things of that nature.
They just would have flipped by it.
Yeah.
They would have watched it.
Yeah, but, you know, nothing
part,
on. It's like, oh, well, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to watch some boxing because nothing else is on, you know. So I think it's great for the sport. And the other thing is now it gives them a chance to get another fight in before the end of the year. So now, you know, if you fight in July or August, you should
yep.
be able to get one in October, November, or December.
And you can have
and,
Christmas off.
Yeah. Maybe eat a little more. Try to get your fight in before Thanksgiving, you know.
What else you got for us, man? You got any
I
news
really
that stand out?
I really
there's been
much.
A lot of fights being made, but...
Yeah, no, I didn't really have much. The main thing I was about to call about was I just wanted to talk about Adrian Broner. I mean, the guy's such a polarizing figure. And like I said, it was so frustrating to just watch him just shake his head, you know, where
yeah.
I'm like, this isn't fighting shake. You know, I don't understand, you know, where does it say in boxing rules that if you shake your head no, that the punch doesn't count,
right.
you know.
Like they erase it off their memory, like, oh, that didn't hurt. Look, he's smiling.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
we'll take it off.
The first show, this, we totally went off like a couple of different times people did in the first show too over that because it's just like, dude, you're not down 7-1 doing that shit, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was so frustrating to watch as a fan, but then, like I said, you couldn't tune away because Mikey Garcia's excellence was so compelling that, you know, it actually made it, you know, it was like frustrating and enjoyable at the same time.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, Mikey didn't pay it no mind. He just kept going. All right, man.
Yeah,
well,
so
enjoy the
fights
this weekend.
Yeah, and I'm glad I got a chance to be back on, and hopefully I'll be able to sneak in soon. And I know we had talked about maybe calling you and recording some coming up for some of those other ones. So I'll get with you
yeah.
off the air, and we'll be able to do that because, you know, out of everybody that calls in, I'm – so excited for Canelo GGG. I've been waiting for like 2 years for this. So, you know, as the fight gets closer, I'm going to have more and more
oh,
to
yeah.
say about that matchup. And I just can't wait. And, you know, I know that the other fight is kind of overshadowing it right now. But I think that once it's over, I think it's going to just go full gear. And it'll be interesting to see how much of a negative the other fight is compared to it, because I can see it going both ways. I can see in certain ways where, you know, it causes more like pay-per-view fatigue, but I can also see it springboarding it just because people are already talking about fighting and, you know, things of that nature. And the fact that, you know, anyone that, you know, basically like,
cheaper.
You know, no, this is going to be the real fight. You know, the real fight will be this one, you know, so.
Right.
You know, just at the pay-per-view parties and things that people are going to have, you know, I'm sure that, you know, around the country, you know, the boxing fans are going to take their chance to remind everyone that, no, guys, the real fight comes up in 3 weeks. So,
dude, you know
can't
what
wait
sucks?
For that,
they
so
got
we'll,
in the movie theaters. They got in the movie theaters, the McGregor-Mayweather. But
yeah.
But here, I don't know what it is there, but here it's $45.
Yeah, I think it's $40 out here if I looked. And you know what's funny is I said I was gonna order it, but like I think we talked about this before. I've got so many texts about it already. I'm like, I'll probably have everyone throwing $5 and I'll have enough people. I mean, with the amount of people that seem to be interested in this, so they're definitely doing their job.
Right. Definitely.
Because I've had more than 10 people call and say, hey, are you gonna get the fight? I'll throw in $10 or $20, you know.
Right.
So
yeah,
it'll
I'm
be
still trying to figure out, man. I'm thinking like a casino within driving range might have like a ballroom type screening. That'd be pretty cool or something. I was really happy
fun.
When I heard it was in the theaters, but those are awesome.
Yeah,
because
I go up to Tahoe for them a lot
bucks,
too.
$25 in the theaters. Like, well, I might, you know, me and my buddy go to the theaters. We might as well just rent the fucking
might
thing
as well
at
just
home.
Buy it.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we can put something in the air, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Although out here in California, you pretty much can do it in the theater too. But
yeah, true. Well, I'm not out there in California.
So we'll have to get you out here pretty soon.
Right. All right, man. Well, enjoy the fights, and like you said, we'll either hear from you when you call in, and I can patch in, or on a recording, or whatever, man. But we'll definitely talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Yes, sir. And that about does it for the show. It's getting a little late. It's 1:25 here Central Time. We're going to get out of here. Thanks for listening to the second show. There's even some callers that just been laying back there. A couple new ones that I haven't seen numbers. So in case you didn't know, you can check this out not just on blogtalkradio.com, but, of course, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, rate and review. Please, Player FM, Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, wherever. Did I say Stitcher, TuneIn? What else am I missing? I think I got it all. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, or the bullshit, the holdback, and when you become a world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it. I'm going to show you it's this. So I'm going to give any dollar worth.